Good morning. Welcome to St. John Lutheran Church and Christian Preschool. So glad you made it here on this cold, cold morning. It is so cold that Aromas is serving their coffee on a stick. It is so cold that Petco and Mason started selling penguins. It is so cold that the dog on the side of the bus is riding inside the bus. It is so cold.
The cold never bothered me anyway.
That even Elsa is bothered. But welcome to the warmth of Christ's love and to Christ's people. Stand and greet your neighbors warmly. All right, I can see you're much warmer already. Well, please remain standing as we begin with a brief order of confession and forgiveness printed in the bulletin. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will begin with our opening hymn, number 673.
Thank you.
Well, last Wednesday, I had the honor of doing a memorial service for Lester King, also known as Sonny King. And right before the service at the funeral home, I was walking down the aisle and I heard somebody say, "Pastor Ross." I turned and looked, and it was Kevin Strike, who I know not only from being from this congregation, but he's also one of the people who took really good care of my godmother at Clarksville Skilled Nursing. She talked about Kevin all the time. And so I stopped, I said hello to Kevin, and then after the service, I went over and asked him, "So how did you know Sonny? How are you connected?" He said, "Sonny was my godfather." I thought, that is so cool. We got to take care of each other's godparents for each other. I mean, that's what it's all about, people, right? That's why we're on this planet, is to take care of each other and to be there for each other. The Apostle Paul today talks about how we are one body and we all work together to take care of each other. So it's not my job to take care of all of you, but it's our job to take care of each other. You are just as qualified as I am, because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Let's pray together the prayer of the day printed in the bulletin. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that, comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, and the free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker and are indispensable. Are those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect? Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged that the body give him the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. All apostles, all prophets, all teachers do all work miracles. All the apostles, all the prophets, all the teachers do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But still, we should strive for greater gifts.
I'd like to invite the children to join me for the children's message. Oh, you lost a tooth. Oh, you lost several teeth. Wow. Thanks for sharing. Hi, guys. Oh. Hello, Governor. Is that what you said? Cool. All right. So, I got this cool new speaker, right? But problem is, I don't know what to do with it. I mean, nothing comes out. Oh, wait. I got to what it? Bluetooth it. Wait. Do you have a Bluetooth? No, you lost your Bluetooth. Oh, okay. Wait, okay. So, wait, okay. So, I'll start by turning it on. Oh, it spoke. Power on. Okay. And now what do I do? Oh, okay. Wait, so you're saying, so I have to connect it to something?
Connect it to your phone, my computer.
Here, okay, you hold on to that. Okay, you hold on to that. Okay. So I got my phone here. Okay, so open that up. And so let's see. All right, so you're saying it's connected, but I don't see anything.
Yeah, because it's called Bluetooth. It's wireless.
It's wireless?
Yeah.
Really? So no wires. It's just like invisible, right? Yeah. But how does it know?
Because it's connected to your phone.
It's called.
But I can't see it.
It's called radio connection.
It's called radio, but I can't see it.
Yeah, you can't see it.
But it's still there.
Yeah.
It's a real thing.
Yeah.
Right, you're not just messing with me.
Well,
it's a real invisible connection. Okay.
It's not real. It's not invisible. It's like...
You just can't see it.
Radio connection.
Okay, all right. Wait, so let me try. Okay, so you're saying it's connected. All right. So, okay, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Whoa! It worked, even though there's no wires. A little bar of soap. Oh, I wish I were a little bar of soap. Wow! That's a charger. Okay, well, thanks. I'll call you up when I need to know how to use it. So, here's the thing. So, that's perfect because in our gospel reading today, we see that Jesus also has an invisible connection to God, right? He says, the Spirit, God's Spirit is with me. He has an invisible connection that was helping him to know what to do and what to say, just like the invisible connection. Everybody go like this. I'm making it up. This is the invisible connection tells the speaker what to do, right? Well, God is like the phone, and we're like the speaker, and we have an invisible connection with God that helps us to know what to do. We call that the Holy Spirit, or God's Spirit. Yes. What if God is out of batteries? Then we're all done, okay? God never runs out of batteries. So, here's the thing. What was that song that was just playing? Yeah, I wish I were a little bar or so. You know, maybe that's God's Spirit reminding us that February is soap month, and God wants us to bring soap to help people, right? Because God's Spirit helps us to take care of each other. It tells us what to do. So, you know, wait, what's that? I'm going to hear that song again. Still works.
Oh, I wish I were a little bar of soap.
Over everybody's Heidi. We're a little bar of soap. Okay, so I think that God's Spirit was talking to me this week, that invisible connection, and it said to me, God's Spirit said to me, this week, instead of giving the kids something they don't need, ask them to give soap to people who need it. Because all the soap that we bring in February is going to the homeless shelters in Mason City to help people who really, really need it, okay? So that's your treat for this week. Your treat is you get to go out and buy soap and bring it to Sunday school or the office in order to help take care of people who need it. Sound good? All right, good. Okay, it doesn't have to be this brand. Speak whatever you want. Can I have my speaker back?
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Everybody, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for your invisible Spirit that helps me be your faithful child. Amen. Thanks for coming up and for explaining Bluetooth to me. Thanks. And good luck with the Tooth Fairy. All right. Okay. Let's stand for the Alleluia verse. The Holy Gospel for today is written in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the gospel of the Lord. And you may be seated. No, we don't want that. It all started a long time ago. It's all been leading up to this moment in our gospel reading today. The ancient prophecies and visits from angels, a miraculous birth, baptism in the Jordan River, temptation in the wilderness, and now here we are. Jesus is in the synagogue about to publicly give his first recorded teaching, his first recorded sermon in Scripture. And everybody is wondering what he's going to say. They're all waiting with anticipation. What is he going to say finally? They hand him the scroll of the book of Isaiah, the ancient prophet. Jesus unrolls it and he reads from the section that talks about what's going to happen when the Messiah comes, about how the Messiah will bring peace, the Messiah will bring healing, the Messiah will set the people free. And then Jesus rolls up the scroll, he sits down, he looks at them, and he says, "I'm the one you've been waiting for, and I'm here to set you free." Boom. Mic drop. End of sermon. Man, I wish I could preach like that. You'd get out of here a lot sooner, right? I remember my first sermon, not nearly so good. My first sermon was actually when I was a senior at Wartburg College in Waverly. It was my senior chapel. Okay, now, normally we would have a chapel in the Newman Auditorium. We didn't have a chapel back then. We would have services in Newman Auditorium, but once a week on Wednesdays, we would have senior chapels in Burr Lounge at Wartburg. And by the way, I searched and searched and searched the internet to find a picture of a chapel service in Burr Lounge, and I couldn't find anything. All I could find was this picture of Burr Lounge with then Vice Presidential candidate George H.W. Bush speaking at the podium in Burr Lounge just 1 year before I gave my senior chapel. So I gave my senior chapel at the exact same podium where George H.W. Bush had spoke a year before. So there I am at my senior chapel. I couldn't find a picture. So anyway, so I had looked forward to doing my senior chapel. I mean, I've had seen all these other seniors do it years before me. So I signed up for it. But when the week of it actually came, I was like, what kind of temporary insanity made me sign up to do this? I have no idea what to say. I have no idea what to do. And I thought, am I crazy? Am I a fool? And then I remember, wait, yes, I am a fool. A fool for Christ. Because you see, in those days, I was hanging around with a campus ministry group called Christ's Gestures. It was the Wartburg College clown troupe. And we had named ourselves Christ's Gestures. We were clowns and we were mimes. Gestures is a combination of jesters like clowns and gestures like mimes, actions. So we were Christ's Gestures. And by the way, have you found me yet? Yes, that's your pastor right there. Okay? So, I was a part of this group, and our mission in Christ's Gestures was to lower ourselves to lift others up. We were fools for Christ. And so I thought, okay, that's what I need to do. I need to do something really foolish in my sermon, in my senior chapel. And my first thought was that, okay, in the middle of my sermon, I'm going to dump a glass of water on my head. that'll get people's attention, you know, that'll be crazy foolish. And then I remembered the microphone, and I was going to have the boombox there so that I could play a song from my current favorite Christian artist, which was almost mandatory for a senior, you know what I'm talking about, Susan, for a senior chapel. We were way ahead of our time. So the electronics is like, okay, no, I'm not going to dump the water on my head. So instead, in the middle of my sermon, all of a sudden, I started running down the aisles and yelling, ah! Acting all crazy and getting people's attention, and they laughed. And I know it's hard for you to believe that I would resort to a gimmick in order to get people's attention, right? But it's what I did. And now, look at it, all these years later, Burr Lounge is gone. Not there anymore. I mean, they remodeled the whole place, and I can't run down the aisle even if I wanted to, because I'm a part of the Bad Knee Club. And for the life of me, I have no idea what the point was of all of that. And I'm sure nobody else who was there remembers either. My first sermon was really big on show, but light on message. Well, Jesus' first sermon was the exact opposite. His sermon, there was no show, and there was one simple, powerful message. I'm the one you've been waiting for, and I'm here to set you free. It's amazing how relevant that short sermon still is nearly 2,000 years later. Scott Rigsby is the first person with double amputations to compete and finish in the Ironman competition. Here's his story.
Hi, I'm Scott Rigsby. I'm a double amputee and a triathlete. Well, I was 18 years old. I was working a summer job with two of my best friends from high school. We were working for a landscaping company, and we were sitting on the back of this pickup truck. An 18-wheeler had been following us and decided to pass us from behind, so he moved over, and when he did, his vehicle clipped our vehicle. I got knocked off. My legs got lodged in between our flatbed trailer tire, and I literally bounced up and down the road over 328 feet on the pavement for the next 3 years, from 1994 to 1997. I'm in pretty much a drug-induced coma and addicted to prescription medications. One day I had this conversation with a pastor friend of mine, and he talked to me for about 2 hours, and through my drug-induced haze, the only thing I can remember him saying is that that God had a plan for my life. That's really when I finally connected with God. I poured out all my hurt and my anger, and I cursed God for everything that he possibly was worth. He simply said, "I'm glad you're finally being honest with me." It was December 2005. I was at probably the lowest point in my life. Even though I was a Christian, I was lost. I was wandering in a desert of despair. And so I just said a simple prayer. I said, "God, if you'll open up a door for me, then I'll run through it." About a week later, I was in a bookstore, and I looked and I saw this female amputee on the front cover of Runner's World Triathlete magazine. And Sarah, who had lost her leg above the knee, she had just completed the Hawaiian Ironman. And so right then and there, I knew that my purpose, I felt like that God wanted me to do the unthinkable. He wanted me to run an Ironman.
But of course, he didn't just go out and immediately run an Ironman. First, he ran some short triathlons. He completed 6 short triathlons, and then he set a world record by being the very first person with double amputations to complete an Olympic distance triathlon. And then he ran a full marathon, and then finally, in 2007, in Kona, Hawaii, he competed in the Ironman. He swam 2.4 miles, he biked 112 miles, he ran 26 miles, and here he is crossing the finish line.
Here I had this dream that there were insurmountable odds. What I was trying to do was unthinkable. But what I wanted to do was change the world. I wanted God to use my ordinary life. I wanted to place my ordinary life in the hands of an extraordinary God so He could do extraordinary things. There's a verse in the Bible, and I'll paraphrase it, but it says, I count everything but loss compared to the knowledge of the worth of knowing Jesus. And really, you know, it doesn't matter about world records, it doesn't matter about being on TV or being in magazines. At the end of the day, when I put my head on the pillow, it's about knowing God, and it's about making Him known.
You know, I have learned a lot since that first sermon in my senior chapel. And one of the things that I have learned is that all of us, every one of us, we're all like Scott Rigsby in some way. Right? I mean, Scott did something truly amazing. He put his ordinary life in the hands of an extraordinary God who did something special with him. But every one of us has obstacles to overcome in our lives. Every single one of us is struggling with something that we long to be set free from. And even though it may sound foolish to other people, and it may even seem foolish to us, knowing Jesus and being in relationship with Him truly does set us free. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus is a magician who magically takes away all of our problems, who magically takes away all of our obstacles and hurdles. But He is a friend who goes on the journey with us, who listens to us, who walks with us, and who sometimes carries us. His Spirit is with us in our minds and in our being that gives us peace even when things are terrible and crazy. And it reminds us again and again that we are loved even when we feel completely unlovable. As Lutherans, we believe and understand that on the cross, Jesus died and then He rose again and He set us free. Free from sin and death. Our sins are forgiven. We have new life in death, and that gift is God's grace to us. We can't earn it, and no matter how many times we mess up, God continues to offer that grace and that freedom to us. When Jesus stood up in His first sermon, He said, I'm here to set you free. Part of that, I think, is that He came to set us free from death, but also He came to set us free in life. Not just in death, but in life too. We are one body, the body of Christ. We're here to take care of each other, support each other. But it's hard to do that when we're trapped by the circumstances of our lives.
My childhood was as close to perfect as you can possibly get. But when I was 12, my life changed forever. I woke up in the middle of the night, I was completely drenched in sweat and absolutely terrified. I had no idea what was going on. My heart was racing, I couldn't breathe, and the walls felt like they were closing in around me. That was the night I experienced my first panic attack. As I got older, I started dealing with crippling bouts of depression and severe anxiety. I turned to drugs and alcohol to try and cope with everything. I completely hated myself. I felt like I was flawed, I was worthless, and I was broken beyond repair. See, in my mind, I thought I had failed God. By this point in my life, I was really, really good at hiding both my symptoms and my addictions. I really hoped that marriage would solve all of my problems, but things continued to spiral out of control and I wasn't able to hide it anymore. It's hard to describe what it feels like when the most important person in your world says that because of you, They're gonna have to walk away. It was by far the worst moment of my life, and if I was being completely honest, I would have preferred death than the words that came out of my wife's mouth. I finally accepted that I needed help. In my mind, that meant that I was admitting that something was probably really wrong with me. Words like therapy and treatment and psychosis started coming out, and it's a really scary thing to go through. Pretty quickly, my psychiatrist was able to diagnose me with bipolar 2 disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. It's not something that you take a pill and you're better. It's something that you will struggle with for the rest of your life. And that was hard to hear. I still struggle with my disease every day. I still fight it every single day. So how can I claim to have peace in the midst of something like a panic attack? And how can I claim to have peace when I'm fighting depression? It's because I'm not fighting the battle alone. Jesus has given me peace in the midst of my own chaos. And I have peace because I've seen firsthand what God can do with the most broken of people, because I am that broken person. And I'm standing here as living proof that there is no one so broken, and no one so flawed, and no one so sick that Jesus cannot and will not heal them and use them to further his kingdom. He is where my peace comes from. He is my peace.
So no gimmicks. No gimmicks. Just one simple, powerful truth. Jesus says, I am the one you've been waiting for. I am with you in this. My spirit and my word will guide you and help you. Talk to me. I'm listening. Put your ordinary life in my extraordinary hands, because I want to set you free too. Amen. We'll stand and sing our next hymn, number 886. Let's proclaim together, we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus, you know our struggles and you know the things that imprison us. By your Spirit, come into our minds and our lives. Send us people who can help us. Give us your peace and set us free. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for all who are in need today. We remember especially Norman Bailey, Steve Freeberg, Jan Mulford, Clarice Laren, Andy Melrose, Ed Benedict, Dan Carey, Bev Friend, Ron Venz, B.J. Gifford, Marietta Sylvester, Donna and Wendell Patton, Helga King. Lord, we ask that you would give your comfort and your strength to the families of Lester King and Mitch Nordmeyer and Steve Boozman at their deaths. Lord, give them and all who grieve comfort in knowing that in Christ we have been set free from death and in the end we'll be together. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray that you would protect and support the women and men who serve in the armed forces and their families, especially Alex Binger, Kim Hall, and Robson Shanklin. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those others who are on our hearts as we name them now silently before you. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering. We'll sing our offering hymn 815.
Thank you.
And let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to say thank you today to the Sandy Miller family for the altar flowers in memory of Dale, and thanks also to Elaine Jennings for the radio broadcast in memory of her father. We have adult Sunday school happening, right? Eric Johannigmeier is teaching adult class today in the chapel. Come and join us for that. Just want to give you a quick update on the sound and video system. So far, we've got around $80,000 in gifts and pledges, which is pretty incredible because we were at $25,000 2 weeks ago. So it's still coming in. If you want to bring in your gift or your pledge, you can either today put it in the speaker. There's a speaker out there in the narthex with a slot where you can put it in, or you can bring it into the office this week. Thank you so much for everything that's come in so far. Okay, everybody, if you would, just sit down, please. Sorry, there's a reason. I should have had you sit down earlier. Okay, so it's a new year. I want to start something new this year. I want to take a moment at one of the services each month to honor everybody that month who has a birthday. Okay, so if you have a January birthday, please stand up. Don't be shy. Stand up. Thank you. Stand up if you have a January birthday. Okay. All right. And there are people listening on the radio, too, who also have January birthdays. So you guys stay standing. Stay standing. And we're going to sing happy birthday to all the January babies. All right, you can stay standing, actually, and everybody else stand up too. All right, sorry, I'll get the flow down, but we'll do it again in February. And by the way, put some Tabasco in your coffee this week. Stay warm; it's gonna be cold. Receive the benediction. May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. And we'll sing our ascending hymn, number 650. Go in peace. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. pretty close.